Okay, so let me go back to the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I'm going to read a few lines of the Mishnah on that space Gemara. So turning back to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, 32a. So it says, "Ilan Amarim B'Kolasha." The following things can be recited in any language. Parshat Sota. So Parshat Sota, when the Kohen gives the Yeshua to the woman, he can say that in any language. Vidui Ma'aser is, you know, it's really in the fourth and seventh year the person admits or he has a confession that he's made distribution for all the Maestros and Trumos, and he says, Kriyat Shema, reciting Shema, can be said in any language, Tana says, Utfila davening, Birkat Hamazon benching, Ushura Eidot, Shura Eidot is if a person wants somebody to testify on their behalf, and they say, we don't know anything, so I say, I want you to take a Shua, and either I give you the Shua and you say Amen, or you take the Shua, and then you admit that you lied under oath. That would be Shura Eidot.
That's what I'm making you swear. Could be in any language.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. He says, Ushura Picharon. Ushura Picharon. I say, I gave you a diamond ring. I don't know anything about this. And then he takes a shvua. Okay, now let's turn back to Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara was in discussion about Kriyat Shema. The Gemara said it could be in any language. And then the Gemara said it's really Machloket Tanaim, whether Kriyat Shema could be in any language or not. The Armish that reflects the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold Shema means Shema B'Kol Hashon Shetashmea. Listen to it in any language you understand. Actually, it's the same sugya. Right, exactly right. In the second parak in Brachot, he says according to the Tanner, according to Rebbe says Kriyat Shema Kichtava. The Kriyat Shema has to be in a language that was written, which is Hebrew. Lashon Kodesh has to be. So he learns it from the words Vahayu. Exactly right, Vahayu. That it has to be these words Vahayu. And the Chum learn from Vahayu. They learn right. It can't be Lamakreya. And then Shema, what does Rebbe do with Shema? So Rebbe learns from Shema that that you have to Hashmeil Ozlachat, it has to be audible, is what Rebbe learns. Okay? So we're three lines, we're three words, we'll hold it for six word lines and I'll come to you. So the three words from the end of the line on page 64, Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Lamed Ksaver Rebbe. Now again, Rebbe holds that Kriyat Shema, the Torah teaches by you that it has to be recited in Hebrew. So the Gemara says, "Lamek Savar Rebbe." Should I say that Rebbe holds Kol Torah b'Kol Hashon Nemra, that the whole Torah can be recited in any language? Now, we Rashi learns Pshat that any time you have Kriyas Torah, that could be in any language. The Kriyas Torah would be it sounds like a Sefer Torah with reading from a different language. It sounds like the way Rashi learned. He says, "Let's just do the simple Pshat and we'll come back." He says, "Kol Torah b'Kol Hashon Nemra, the Isak Adaita Kol Hashon Kodesh Nemra." Because if you would assume that everything in the Torah always has to be recited in Hebrew, by you, Dekat Rachman Lamali, why would the Torah have to say? In other words, we have a special limud by Kriyat Shema that it has to be in Hebrew. That sounds like the default is left to my own devices, it could be in any language. And the Torah teaches me here, but Dafka, it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. That's what the Gemara wants to say within the Sheet of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, not Mukhrach. It could be that Rebbe would also hold. Rest of the Torah has to be recited in Hebrew, but Israel, nevertheless, it was necessary for the Torah to write Behayu here by Kriyat Shema that it has to be in Hebrew, Mishum Dechtiv Shema, because it has the word Shema. So Shema is subject to two interpretations. One interpretation is the way the Chachamim say, Shema B'chol Hashon Shtashmei, and you can do it in any language. The other is Shema, they should be audible. So by saying Behayu, it's teaching me the second one, not the first one. In other words, don't be misled to think that Shema means any language. It says by you. So you'll learn it the other way. Now, that's the way Rashi learns about with the priest of Torah. Now, the problem is, and the Tar school brings this down, but Tosfos quotes this in Brachot and in the Gillah, priest of Torah is really a Din Rabbana. So Tosfos is bothered. How can Rashi say that the lane of the full Torah with full of Shonamra is talking about priest of Torah, but priest of Torah is Din Rabbana? So Tosfos in Brachot says it could be, it's talking about Parshat Zachor. Parshat Zachor is a piece of Torah which would be Deraisa. So Rashi could be referring to that. But so then the Bali Tosfos want to say that it's talking about something else. They learn Pshat differently. They learn that it means when it says full Torah before the phone Namra, it's talking about that certain recitations have to be in Lashon Kodesh. And so here it's taking it like the Gemara has like Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza. Like the Mishnah itself says, when we're on the Lamed Gimel Aleph, it's going from the top, like Mikra Bikurim, when a person says, you know, Arami or Veirami, so he says that that has to be in Hebrew. And then the other is the Chalitza, you know, like the recitation that the Yavama says, you know, and that the Yavam says, that has to be in Hebrew. So should I say that it has to be Bedachka? And that's the way Tosfos goes with this. All right, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. We'll see. So now the Gemara says we're on line four, Lamed Gimel Aleph. Lamek Savi Rabbanan, should I say the Chachamim hold? Now again, the Chachamim hold Shema, when it says Shema, it means Shema b'chol Hashem Shta Shemeya. To say in any language the way the Chachamim hold, which is the way the Tanah of our Mishnah holds. So Lamek Savi Rabbanan, should I say the Chachamim hold? Kol Torah Kula b'Lashon Kodesh Nemra. The whole Torah, all the recitations of the Torah, if you want to say like Rashi or Tosfos, whether it's Priest Torah or it means these mitzvot, that you have a mitzvah of speaking, has to be in Lashon Kodesh. In other words, if I have a limud by Shema, it could be in any language, so Mestama, that means the default is that it has to be Dr. Lashon Kodesh. Yisal Kataitek B'chol Lashon, if you would assume that the whole Torah could be recited in any language, Shema de Katab Rachman Lamali. Why would the Torah have to say B'dafka by Shema? Do it in any language, because everything is in any language. So he says, Itzrich, so the Gemara says not Bokrach. It could be the Chachamim hold that indeed the rest of the Torah could also be in any language. And nevertheless, the Tzotni Shema here, he showed me the Tzibayu. There's like, again, similar idea that we have a Rebbe. There's a word here that could be understood in different ways. So the way Rebbe understands Vayu, it has to be in Hebrew. But the Chachamim understand by you that he can't be the Mafreya. He has to be in the order in which it's in the written. But I could be misled to see like Rebbe. So the Chachamim say, so here but after the Torah says Shema, to teach me the way the Chachamim understand it, that I'm not going to take like this, this feint, F-E-I-N-T. I'm not going to go the wrong way and say that it means, that it has to be literal. I'm going to go with the idea that it could be in any language, and by you, I'm going to darshan out that it can't be the Mafreya. Okay, let me just summarize again what we did, and then for everybody who walked in, and we'll take from there. So this is the tail end of a previous sugya. So the Tana and the Mishnah said that certain things could be said in any language. And one of the items that we said could be said in any language is Kriyat Shema, reciting Shema. Then we learned that's really a Machloke Tanaim, because according to Rebbe, Dafka Kriyat Shema has to be in Hebrew, it has to be in Lashon Kodesh, it can't be in any language. So each one, Darshan, a different, so the way Rebbe understood it, says Vahayu. Rebbe understands Vahayu has to be the words the way they're written here. And the Chachamim say, no, Vahayu just means I can't read it with my prayer, I can't, do it out of order. And the, the Chachamim say, in any language, Shema b'chol Lashon Shemaya. And Rebbe says, no, that's teaching me it has to be audible to the ears. Now, let me just mention that even though the Gemara here, and it comes out in the Halacha, theoretically, the Shema could be said in any language, but the post can bring down that we're not so good at translating a lot of these words. Like, how do you translate the word the Totafot, Beninacha? We don't know exactly how to translate everything. So it's not always like, it's not so perfect reading Shema in any language. Obviously, if a person really, doesn't say anything, he's got to do it that way. But to know, like, to do a little bit Shema Hebrew, it's not so difficult. At least the first Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Tabruk Shem, certainly that you could teach somebody to know in Hebrew. That's like the basic. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thought that I rocked you had a question before? And then let me just show the people who's here.
Are you allowed to name Shema?
So the Gemara in this Gemara Masechet Megillah. So the Gemara has.
Are we supposed to see who's in the room without viewing?
I was showing you who was in the room.
We couldn't see a thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Wait a second. Okay. Now, Rafi asked, can I have Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah in other languages? That's the Gemara Masechet Megillah. Never mind Shabbat, just in general. So it's Machloket in the Gemara and Sefer Megillah. Rabbi Gamliel holds there that the only language you're allowed to write it in is Greek, is the way Rabbi Gamliel holds, but there's another opinion that it could be written in any other language. Okay? All right. Wait, say again, what? No. Nobody ever does that. Okay. Wait, what else? What comes to reform in a minute? Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, everybody good in the Zoom world? Okay, let's go for one. Now, Okay, we're on line 8, on Lamed Gimel Aleph, 33A.
This Bichul Torah at the end of this piece.
Say what?
This Bichul Torah we had in Brachot, right?
Right, that's what I mentioned. You came a drop late, but right. We said the same sugya is in the second parak in Brachot, okay?
Right.
Okay. Sure. All right, now, okay, line 8. Now, Tefillah, we said that the Mishnah said that Tefillah means like Shemona Esrei, really. But Tefillah could be in any language, what the Talmud Mishnah said. Tefillah, so the verse is Rachmehi, Bohechi Dabai Matzlai, that's like a bakasho that a person makes from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so that could be in anything, any language of the person, the way he feels to pray. So the verse is Tefillah B'cholashon, means Tefillah could be in any language, is that true? Ba'amar Rabbi Huda says, L'olam al-Yishla Adam Sracha B'lashon Aramid, that a person should never make his request in Aramid. Now, some Rishonim understand, the Rif understands it, doesn't mean Dak Arami. It means that you can't do it in any other language other than Lashon Kodesh. We'll talk shortly about this. This is why I brought the word up here.
Even Arami.
Right. In other words, the Arami is just an example of one foreign language. But according to the way that the Rif understands it, I should have said the Rif. The way the Rif understands it, it has to be in Hebrew. So Rabbi says, the Lama Yishadam Strachab L'Shon Arami. The Amar B'Yochanan Koshol Strachab L'Shon Arami. In Malachi Shorin Skatin Lo. So Rabbi Huda says that the Malachim don't understand either Aramaic or other languages. So Mela, so it would have to be in Hebrew, putting the way the Rif understands it. Other ones understand it, just we'll talk shortly. So here, our Tana Mishnah says you can daven in any language. And yet, the other statement says you can't daven in Arami, either Aramaic or any other language. So it's Kasha. So Gemara says, oh, Kasha, not a contradiction. Habiyachid, the rule that a person can't daven in Aramid or many or in language according to the Rif, that's only when he's davening yachid. Davening by himself, he can't do that. Habit tzibur. But if he's davening with the tzibur, then he can daven in any language. He says, so the Gemara says, the aim of the makim l'shon Arami, meaning the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, but Hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shema Bat Kol Mibek Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yochanan the Kohen Gadol heard a heavenly voice when he was in the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom Kippur. Shuomer, and that's who Talia da'azul lagachat prava la'antokia. He says that the Talia means the way Rashi takes it, the young Kohenim were having a battle with the Yavanim. This is around the time of Hanukkah, right. I don't know if this is Machio ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. I don't know if it's Machio's father, but it's around the time of the Yavanim. So he says he heard a heavenly voice on Yom Kippur, and the battle was taking place on Yom Kippur, but the battle was taking place in Antioch, which is Turkey, like near the Turkish border with Syria, you know, where they suffered in that earthquake recently. He said, so he hears the heavenly voice speaking in Aramaic. So it sounds like the Malachim do speak Aramaic. We'll see Rashi on this. The fifth narrow line. That's Kutalia, the Azlu. Let me go to the early one. Let me go to the Yachid. So Yachid, Sirishi Siyu Malachi Ashari, he says the individual needs the help of the Malachim. Sibur lo Srikibu. The Sibur doesn't need them. Deftiv, Inkel Kabir lo Yamas, in a moist Batil Tancho Rabin. So the way means that the great God lo Yamas, he won't test, but Wayless and King Kale Kabir Lo Yamas, that God won't detest like the multitudes. In other words, the multitudes he won't detest. So the tefillah of the tzibur has much greater koach than it could be in any language. That's what we think. Let's see further. He says, now in the next Rashi, that's who Tali Basil Gafak Prabhab Antokia, shall who pure kuhuna, that the young Kohenim went, the name Beit Tashmonai, Lilachem Yavani, Mithne Yom Kippurim. It's interesting because the Kohenim are going. And a Kohen Sherag and Nefesh is, you know, possible for a vote on the Beit HaMikdash, and they're going to war. He says, but that's really what, you know, all of Hanukkah was about with the Chashmonaim, right? That they were the Kohenim, they were involved with the war. He says, v'nilchamu b'yom ha-kippurim, they battled on Yom Kippur, v'shema Yochanan b'kol she'oved avodat Yom Kippur. And Yochanan heard a b'kol when he was doing the avodat on Yom Kippur. And at this point in time, so there was no Nebuah anymore, right? So it's definitely a Malach that's speaking because there's no Nebuah. So let's take a look. Somebody says that. I saw that either in the art school or in the Sifta. Just see back in the Gemara. So he says here, back in the Gemara, B'shut Ma said the Shimon HaTzadik, this is years later, earlier. Shimon HaTzadik is like around 333 BC, the time of Alexander the Great. It's earlier. B'shut Ma said the Shimon HaTzadik, Shema Bakol Nekodesh Tadashim. He also heard a heavenly voice from the Kodesh Tadashim. Shehu Omer, the heavenly voice was saying, B'tilar V'ilatad Amar Sana V'ita Al Hechala, that like the army or the military campaign that the enemy wanted to bring against the Beis HaMikdash has been undone. The Nera Kaskalgos, Ubitlik Zerotav, this Kaskalgos is some Rashi's Melch Yavan, he's
God.
Yeah, he's history. The Katuo Tasha'a, it's interesting. Here it doesn't say that he heard it on Yom Kippur. He heard a voice coming from the Kodesh Kadashim. The earlier one sounded like the same place in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur.
Why did you say Yom Kippur?
The earlier one said that, that would be natural, but the earlier Rashi said the battle was on Yom Kippur, and he says, and Rashi said, we just read the Rashi, lying from the top, Shoyochan Bakol Che Obeid Avodah Yom Kippur, and he heard about Kol, he's doing the Avodah. So Lechora, I would think that the same thing would be this thing, but the only thing is here it says, B'tatu O'tasha'ah, they wrote down the hour when it took place. Unless they wrote it down after Yom Kippur was over. Anyway, the kid knew, but it was exactly the right time. And whenever he heard it, that was exactly when it took place. In both cases, the Malach was speaking in Aramaic. So how can you say the Malach don't speak Aramaic? They know, say, Farshtenanish Aramaic. He says they hear the talking Aramaic. So, Ibai name about Toshani, I could say about call, heavenly voice is different. The heavenly voice is to make things known here on earth. So the heavenly voice is speaking a language that people understand. So at that point, they spoke Aramaic. So it's like, let's sit with Rashi. He says, Shani Bakol, you have a Rashi, it's 20 lines down. Shani Bakol, Otam Nida Hamamuna Atas, Yodat, the Shavim Mishono. In other words, the Nida, as speaks like the Mala, that's the pointed for this, knows 70 languages. Its job is to make things known, to publicize it. It's sent to different nations, whatever, or yes, or language. Now, for back in the Gemara, by name of Gabriel, or else I can say the Malach that was speaking was Gabriel. He says the Amar Mar by Gabriel. Remember, this is where it's going to have later on Daf Lamed Vav. So today, so that is that Thursday. Thursday's Daf is going to say that Gabriel came and taught Yosef all the 70 languages. I think it's when he was meeting with Paro. So he taught him all languages. All right. So let's go slowly with this, and then we'll talk, and then we'll say a little bit. So first, let me go over the different she code in the tour. So, okay. All right, so this is the tour in Siman Kuf Aleph. He says, a person can daven in any language that he wants. So the Rif says, it's only if you're davening b'tzibur, with a congregation. You're davening by yourself, lo yitaleo ilo b'lashon ha-kodesh. According to the Rif, if you're davening by yourself, then you have to daven in Hebrew. So he says, then, the Yesh Mefarshim, some explain, the Hadimin and Yachid loy Pleil of the Shon HaKodesh. This is, I think, the Chachmei Tzarpat. There's a Ran. Tamini Rabbeinu Yonah in Bracho quotes the Chachmei Tzarpat. So the Rabbanim in France said, Hadimin and Yachid loy Pleil of the Shon HaKodesh. When the Gemara says that an individual should only say B'lashon Kodesh, Dav Kishoel Srachav. Aval Shapalel Tfilashot Tzibur, Tu Yachid Chol Omer B'chol Hashon. So, the way the Chachmei Tzarpat understand it is, what does it mean that the Yachid has daven in Hebrew? He's making his own specific request of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that has to be behaved in Lashon Kodesh. But if he's davening the Shmona Esrei, what does Tzibur mean? Does Tzibur mean Dafka with the Tzibur? Or does it mean I'm using the text that everybody's using? I'm doing the standard text. So the Chachmei Tzarpat means, understand, if it's B'Tzibur, I'm saying like standard Shmona Esrei. Yeah, I could say it in any language. But if I want to add a bakasha in it, you know, please give her a foolish flame to Plumi, so that I have to say in Hebrew. That's where the Chachmai Sarfat understand it. Then the Torah says, Ba'adoni Abi Harash, my father, my master, Rabbi Nasher. He quotes his father last of all of them. And the other ones were earlier. But it's interesting, like, that he quotes his father last. And you could say humility, you know, but I mean, not that he was not sure his father last. I mean, chronologically it's last, but it's just a hara. He says, Ba'adoni Abi Harash Zal Tatav, he says an individual, even if he's asking his own private bakasho, can ask in any language. He says chutz min lashon arami, except for Aramaic. Aramaic, that the Malachim don't understand. And I think the Rush says that because, and I think the Rush will put it this way, in other words, they feel like that's like a corrupted Hebrew. In other words, Aramaic is like a corrupted Hebrew. So they don't, they're not going to raise that line. Okay, wait, 2 minutes. I'll pause time for more questions in just 2-3 minutes. Wait, we're almost there. Okay, think of the question, bring a pad, take notes, and then you can ask. Okay, now he says like this. So he quotes the Gemara, which we did already. In light of this Gemara, Rabbi Yonah questions the prevalent practice of women praying at home in the vernacular. So if the pshat is like the Rif. The Rif says that the dafka has to be in Hebrew unless you're davening the tzibur. So he says, so how is it that women daven in other languages? And the answer he cites the French rabbis, the Chachmei Tzarfat, who said that Rabbi Yochanan only precludes an individual from formulating his own personal prayer, concerning specific meaning is the foreign tongue. Only communal prayer may be introduced in a foreign language, as the Kumkorakan. They maintain that Rabbi Yochanan does not prohibit an individual from saying the standard prayers in Aramaic, because the standard prayers are accepted by Hashem, even without the intervention of Malachim. The Rush limits Rabbi Yochanan's assertion to the Aramaic language. He argues that Malachim certainly understand prayers in a foreign language, but they are even aware of a person's thoughts. The Malachim have an aversion to Aramaic because they consider it a distorted and corrupted form of Lashon HaKodesh, and they therefore refuse to pay attention to prayers in Aramaic. Rabbi Yochanan did not take issue with private prayers recited in other languages. Okay, now, the big issue with this is the Reform Movement. You know, in the 19th century, when the Reform Movement began, they make changes. So, like, they try to make small changes in the beginning. And then, even though they're going to make big changes later on, they try to do it. So the Reform Movement, initially, they said we're going to have, you know, the prayers will be in Hebrew. And the Mishnah says, to the B'chol HaShom. And they said, you know, we'll have an organ in the shul, but there was an organ in the Beis HaMikdash. You know what I mean? It's a shinui, but not you know, it sort of sounds like you know, it has some connection with Yiddish, right? So all the gedolim of the time got together and they issued a sefer. I think it's called Eilat Divrei Abrit, and the Chasam Sofer was in the forefront of this, you know, campaign. So he mentions about the Reform Movement during the 19th century proposed praying publicly in the German language. The Chasam Sofer and other authorities vehemently opposed this proposition. They maintain that our Gemara permits a tzibur to pray in a foreign language only on a temporary basis. So, but if I say that the tzibur, it's filled before lashon, so I'll say it's only with the tzibur. So Chasam Sofer says it doesn't mean I'm going to have a tzibur that's permanently going to say the prayers in, you know, French or German or something like that. It's a temporary basis, or to introduce a new prayer in another language that has become important. Or if he says, however, by no means is it permitted to do a permanent change in the original language of the prayers, which Klal Yisrael have been accustomed to throughout history. He says, the Chasam Sofer points out the Anshei Knesset and Philip formulated the prayers in Lashon HaKodesh, even though it was not spoken or understood by the common folk who spoke Aramaic at the time. But the time the tefillah were adopted, everybody was speaking Aramaic, but they still made it Lashon HaKodesh. He says, this proves that Lashon HaKodesh should be used even by those who do not understand it, because it contains a special sanctity. Moreover, he explains that it is appropriate to pray in Lashon HaKodesh, since that is Hashem's language, when speaking to a king, it is proper to speak in the king's native tongue. This is Achashverosh insisted, but the Berak Lashon Amo. Everybody, they says, if one wishes to understand the prayers, you should say the translation and pray in Hashem's language, rather than change the language, expect Hashem to listen to him in a foreign tongue. Okay, hold on 1 second. I just want to mention one thing, then we'll take a question or comment or thought, and we'll go on. Now, he mentions here in the Art Scroll, he mentions, where is it? Yeah, he quotes, this is in footnote 6, he quotes the Kotev in the Ein Yaakov, and he says that when it says the Malachim, he says it means the Malachim who are carrying out the response to the prayer. In other words, does Hashem hear languages in a language? So he's bothered. What do you mean Hashem can't hear, you know, other languages and things like that? And he says, some Rishonim say that angels don't assist in their prayers going to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the right, do not. The Ramban says the third form of idolatry is considering the angels capable of serving as intermediaries between God and its worshippers, realizing that even to pray to them for this purpose is forbidden to us. So the idea that Malachim would carry the tefillot is somewhat problematical. So the way that Kotev understands the sugya, but Hashem uses Malachim to carry out his tefillot. So he understands that when the Gemara says that, you know, we got a problem with the Malachim, it means that they're not likely to be called upon to fulfill the request for prayer that was said in a foreign language. And the Meiri says that the Gemara is not literal. In a poetic style, it's teaching prayers in Aramaic or any other language except Hebrew are less likely to be accepted. It doesn't mean like with the Malachim, but it's difficult to put that in with the rest of the sugya. Okay, now, so it comes out Lamaisa. So even though technically, I think generally we would follow, first you should know that the first sheet that we saw is that everything has to be in Mashem Kodesh, he said, and except in a Tzibur, you know, that would be the first opinion. So obviously, but even the most lenient opinion that says that Aramaic is the problem would hold that it's certainly better to pray in Hebrew. Hebrew is Lashon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they have so many English transliterations today, you know, there's really no reason why a person cannot pray. You can have the transliteration, you have the translation, you could even the person who had no background can I think, pray in Hebrew. Okay, now time for questions. First of all, wait, let me hear from Michael first. What do you got? Well, no. In other words, Hebrew is Lashon Kodesh. So it's like changing like the perfect language to boom. Yiddish is just like, first of all, Yiddishists would really object to the way you're saying it. I mean, if it's anything, it would be corruption of German, not a corruption of Hebrew. But it's not a corruption of German because they're both descendants of like old High German. In other words, there's an older form of German that was spoken in the 11th century, and that's what Yiddishists would tell you that Yiddish comes from. Not that they took modern German and did something with it. Okay. Yeah, quickly, chop, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right, so there's more here on this, but simple shot is, the way they say it, let's say, the halakha l'maaseh said, let's say Yikum Purkan, if you're dominating home alone, you should not say Yikum Purkan, because it's in Aramaic. And the slichos also, if you're dominating on your own, so you shouldn't say those tefillot that are in Aramaic. In addition to which, there's a whole question about the tefillot and slichot. Is some say, like, there's a tefillah, this is in Hebrew, machtisei rachem, where it's a tefillah to the malachim. Some people say you shouldn't say that because we shouldn't have a tefillah to the malachim. It's the same issue we just talked about from the Ramban. There's what to speak about it, but that's the general, you know, overall. Okay, Rafi, then he's going.
So we don't say Rishonah and also Kaddish alone because
of Aramaic. No. So Kaddish Bedavka is only Tukan to be said with a minion. And the Tosfos says in Megillah, Dr. Gimel, Tosfos says that the Chachamim established Kaddish Lashon Aramaic because that was the language that was spoken at that time. They wanted people to understand it. But that Bedavka is something that what Takana was said with a minion. Okay, what else?
We don't have any tefillahs.
Hagas, should he speak Hebrew?
Say again, what?
Hagas.
What?
The tefillah was accepted. Malachim heard it.
I don't know. How do you know what language she spoke?
She speaks Hebrew.
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. But she's how does she communicate with Abraham?
Abraham spoke the Hebrew.
I don't know what she spoke. I don't know.
Right now in Aramaic.
Say again, what?
Right now in Aramaic.
What about you from Portland in Aramaic, right?
Yeah, but we don't say that anywhere unless you're in Minyan.
Yeah,
okay. Let me get to the Zoom people. I gotta go.
Yochanan, the same one that went off the derech after 80 years.
So I was thinking about Gemara as well. It could be that he's the same one. That although I saw that like Rav Steinzel said that it meant it said it didn't mean like it, or that it says that he became stooky at the end. So, but I think Rav Steinsel quoted an opinion somewhere where he said it didn't mean like Yochanan was doing it, meant like the people, whatever, at a certain point in time that they went stooky. But Lachora, it sounds like it's my way of thinking it would be. Okay, all right, who's your question? Let me, Ruth, go ahead and let me check out.
Comment from the daf yesterday that Michael gave, Michael Frank. He brought down the concept that this is the only place in the Gemara where language is spoken about, and it's most unusual because of it.
All right. Yeah. Any other questions coming? Aaron Moshe, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something. The most Gedolim that I spoke to all said that Yiddish, Achutz Lashon Kodesh, is considered
Okay, I got it. Okay, there's a famous letter that the Rav wrote in around 1959, 1960. He wrote a letter to one of the Yiddish newspapers. It might have been Der Tug, which went and folded up. And he said that he thought that Yiddish, he said, we discussed this in the past. He said there's things that have etzem kedusha and a tashmish kedusha. It was like the Sefer Torah's kedusha and the Machpel, the Sefer Torah is a tashmish kedusha. He thought that Yiddish had the status of a tashmish kedusha. He said it. He said Yiddish. He said Yiddish was the language that Jews. Yiddish was the language that Jews gave over the Torah in their yeshivas. I don't think that would Ladino, but they went. They gave over the Torah. He says the language of the Ramah, language of the Gra. Anyway, what else did you want to say, Aramosh? Anything else?
I just wanted to say. I mean, the Targum Unclus is in Aramaic. No, Targum Unclus.
Yeah, but it's not. We're not praying in the translation.
It's hard to understand why.
They definitely spoke Aramaic. The question is, when I'm praying to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's the issue.
Yeah, it's hard to understand why the Malachim wouldn't understand Aramaic when people.
So we gave him a Sperim. According to one Hesber, it means like Hebrew is the Lashon Kodesh, and that's the language appropriate to pray to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and not any other language. But then we said that the Malachim, the way the Rush says it, like, they don't like Aramaic because it's a corrupted form of Hebrew. So you think like the most beautiful language and you're corrupting it, and they don't like that language. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. We don't have time. We're running out of time now. So please hold off all questions until the next pause. Okay, it could be a while. Now, now we're 10 lines from the bottom. Your kanamazah, be in any language. You see the chalf mesvata the rasha of Shem alakatha, but full of shon shkamavari. So Rashi takes it over here. We don't have time to go through this anymore. But Rashi takes it. If you see b'chol ashon Hashem b'barach lo kavalo aksuv lashon, that the Torah, actually earlier in the Rashi, the hachik garsina yurkan mazon dechtiv b'rach. We need everybody to be muted. Really, please. Okay, now I'm muting everybody. Don't unmute yourselves. Okay. Okay. Now. Okay, if you look in the Rashi, it's around 15 lines from the bottom. Rashi doesn't say Minalan. Where do we know this from? Why would I assume it has to be in Lashon Kodesh? So the Rashi takes it. So the Gemara says, back in the Gemara, Birkanamazon, 4 lines above, 5 lines above, it gets white. Rashi takes it. There's no reason to think that I would do it adopted in Hebrew, so it could be in any language. Tosfos is bothered by this. Tosfos says that Rashi was wrong to take the word Malon. I do need a Malon. And Tosfos says that I would think that I should learn it out from the Bracha on a hard reason. For the Bracha, they give a hard reason, it has to be Lashon Kodesh. And Kamash Malon, that the Pasuk is teaching me that when I'm giving to Hashem, the Leif Shalem, the Bracha Hashem Elokecha, with a leif shalem, so it could be in Hebrew. All right, now further the Gemara. Any language I can understand, yeah. It says, 3 lines above where it gets wide. Shura Eidot, we went over before what Shura Eidot is. The thief, the nefesh ki techata, the shama kolala. Now here Rashi says, does say Manala, and Rashi takes it. He says, nefesh ki techata, the shama kolala. He hears like a curse. The kol hashon shi shama. In other words, he hears the lashon of the shua is what he hears. In other words, he hears the Allah is the shua. So it means in any language that you understand, you can hear that. Shur ha pitaron atitech techata b'shura edus. Xerishava, it says by both, nefesh pitechata, so the Xerishava, So they're both in the any line within the same. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah quickly on the base on Amid Aleph. Turn back to the Mishnah on 32a. It says, okay, the fourth line. Ve'ilu nemar in Lashon HaKodesh. The following items are in Hebrew, Mikra Bikurim. When a person brings Bikurim, he's a recitation to do that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Bechalitza, the Chalitza ceremony, where there are things that both the Yavama and the Yavam say. Brachot Klalot. Brachot Klalot is on hard reason, or Eval. Of course, says there's a Brachot Klalot. The Beam say, and the Shvatim respond to it. Birchakonim has stopped to be Lashon Kodesh. Birchakonim Gadol. The Brachot Kohen Gadol, so Rashi explains that it's the on Yom Kippur, after the Avoda, he read from the Torah and make eight Brachot. So that all has to be in Hebrew. Uparsha Amelech is the Hakel. Uparsha Egla Rufa is the whole ceremony with the decapitated calf. Meshuch Melchama B'Shabbos Shem Deber La'am. And Meshuch Melchama, the Kohen who is Meshuch Melchama, when he speaks to the people when they're going to war, he has declarations to make. He has to do that. It's interesting. It has to be in Hebrew. He says, now, Mikra Bikurim, Ketzad. What says Ketzad means, where do we know this from? He says, Vanita B'Mark L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha. He says, Vanita B'Mark means that you raise your voice and you say, and then Ulahalan Omer Ba'anu Elabim Yamaru. And then by Har Grizim, Har Eval, says that Labim will say, this is Ma'alahalam L'Shon HaKodesh, Ha'pam L'Shon HaKodesh. So just like the Har Grizim and Har Eval with Lashon Kodesh here too as well. Okay, turn back to the Gemara now on the Gimel and Aleph. So he says, okay, the first very wide line, Ve'ilu Ne'marin B'Lashon HaKodesh, Mikra B'Kurim B'Chalitza Chulei, a mikra bikurim case of these parts on Eshem Lekefa. Ulahalan Omer by Nulabi Memru of Kol Ish Israel. Ma'aniya Hamur of Lahalan, Lashon Kodesh, just like at Har Grizman Har Eval was Lashon Kodesh, Avkam Lashon Kodesh. Levim Gufayim Menalan. Where do we know that Levim and Har Grizman Har Eval had to speak in Latin? I'm learning from Har Grizman Har Eval. I'm learning with the Zeber Shabbat to the Bikurim. But where do I know from Levim? So Atya Kol Mi Moshe. I'm learning another Gzeira Shava from, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Tipacha Kol Ram. It says that Levim will say in a loud voice, Uchtiv Hatam, Moshe Deber V'Latim Yonenu B'Kol. That Moshe Rabbeinu would speak and Hashem would respond to him, B'Kol, Malahalan B'Lashon HaKodesh. Just like Matan Torah was in Lashon Kodesh, Avkam B'Lashon HaKodesh. So to hear in Lashon Kodesh, he says, look at Rashi, four lines to the bottom, Yonenu B'Kol, Matan Torah, B'Lashon HaKodesh Nidnan. The Torah was given Lashon Kodesh. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, let's go back to the Mishnah Lamed Beis Min Aleph. Turn back to Lamed Beis Min Aleph. So then, the last narrow line of Mishnah, Chalitza Ketzad, meaning where do we know Chalitza has to be Lashon Kodesh? The Antava Amra, that she'll answer and say, Ulahalan Omer Banula Bin Amaru, Malahalan Lashon Kodesh, Haftam Lashon Kodesh. So, here, the Tana of our Mishnah is learning that the Chalitza, we're going to learn also from Har Grizim and Har Eval. He says, the Budomer, the Antava Amra, Kaka. He puts the comma after the word Kaka. Avshtomar B'Lashonazeh. So he says, but this language is in Hebrew. Okay, so they both agree that it's in Hebrew, but they have a disagreement where they learn that it's in Hebrew. One learns that it's a Sefer Shava from Har Grizim and Har Eval, and one learns it's from the word kacha. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, two lines from the bottom. Chalitza case of Achulai, Rabbanan, Hai kacha maya abdilai. So the Chachamim don't, Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word kacha. What do the Chachamim learn from the word kacha? Mibailu, the Dabar Shuhu Maase Ma'ake. They learn, it says, kacha yeyase. They learn that the actions, like taking off the shoe, spitting, those are all, you know, right, absolutely required, and if you don't do it, you don't have a chalitza. Kacha, it has to be drafted this way. Rabbi Yehuda, miko kacha. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that, but he learns that the Torah could have said ko, yasali. It says kacha, so he learns that as well. Rabbanan ko kacha lo mashpul. They'll come and hold, and then I'm going to learn that like ko kacha, they don't think that's such a lima. Okay, now, on the top line, I got to run now, I'm doing days. Rabbi Yehuda, hai bi an tavam ra my adulai. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with this Gezer Shava of Be'antava Amara, Bibayle Laguri Lulabim Lashon HaKodesh. So he learns it the other way around. He learns that now that I know the Chalitza is Lashon HaKodesh, because it says Kata, Leviim. From here, he's going to be the source that the Leviim have to give the bracha on klalot in Hebrew. But Leilat Kol Mi Moshe, why can't he learn the Gzeirah Shava? This is Kol Ram and Kol and you know Kol Gad. Where was it? One was Moshe the Bible, you know, named Kol, and the other was Kol Ram. Why does he can't he learn that? He says, so the Gemara says, Leilat Kol Mi Moshe. Ani Gamir, he had the Masora, this is the Gzeirah Shava, Kol O Gamir. He doesn't learn that Gzeirah Shava. You look at Rashi, the first and second lines, Ani Gamar, Gzeirah Shava, Ani Lama Me Rabo, Gzeirah Shava. The Kol Lo Shama, he didn't learn this other one, but Ein Adam Dan Gzeirah Shava, Ken Kippa. Rashi says a person can't learn Gzeirah Shava unless he has a Masora for it. You know, Masora, he didn't have a Masora, this is the Masora. Fourth line of the Gemara, Tani Nami Haki, the letter of Bryce supports this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Komakom Shinamar Ko, Kaka, Ania Bamira, in Lashon Kodesh. Wherever you see one of these terms, Ko, Kaka, Ania Bamira, it has to be in Hebrew. Ko, Ko Tabarhu, like I bear a Kohenim. It says Ko Tabarhu, has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Kaka, the Chalitza, right. Ania Bamira Dilabim. Ania Bamira Dilabim, it means that they have, yes, Zerah Shava. It says Anubi Amaru, he's learning the Zerah Shava from the Chalitza. Okay, now further the Gemara. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to go further. But hopefully, you did the Mishnah yesterday. But it spoke about the brachot and klalot, and once they go over, of course, the yarding, so they go to Har Griz and Har Eval. The Levim are in the middle, and they turn towards, and six shvatim are in one mountain, six shvatim are in another mountain. They turn to one mountain, and they say the brachot, and everybody's in the main, the other the little mountain, and they say the klal, and everybody's in the main. Now, he said, and Kohen and Levim are in the middle with the arrow. So he says, "Brachot kol kesef tevan shavuri sod yarden kulei tan rabbanan haloheima be'ever har yarden be'ever learning be'elaf the Rabbi Yehuda." Meaning, the Tan Rabbi Yehuda understands it's going to be machloket, which is har griz ben har eval. Is har griz ben har eval the one that we're familiar with, which is near the city of Shem in the Eretz Israel or Annapolis today, and you know they would say, or is there a location that's right near the yarden, near Gilgal, where they did this? So they're going to darshan out the psukim. Uh-huh. Each one will darshan their own way. So the Gemara says, "Tan Rabban, Elohim be'evar yardein, be'evar yardein, be'elav the Rebbe Yehuda." In other words, be'evar yardein, he says, far away. In other words, far away from the Jordan River. Acharei derech mavoa shemesh, makom shachama zorachat. In other words, it's a big. In other words, a distance from the east. In other words, the sun shines, rises in the east. It's a distance from the east. You gotta go west. The Eretz HaKnani Yosheba Arava, the land of the Knani that Yosheba Arava in the plains, Elu Har Grizim Har Eval, Shoshribahem Kutim, where the Kutim inhabit. So these Kutim obviously came out later on from Melech Ashur. He put non-Jews there and they did a sort of Shvach conversion to Judaism. And there's a whole discussion about them, and then some say that they later on converted properly.
Referring to later on.
But when he says Kutim, that's referring later on. Mulha Gilgal, Samukh Gilgal. Now, Mulha Gilgal, this is very difficult. Now, the Rashash isn't go racist because it doesn't fit in. This is Mulha Gilgal. Gilgal is the location right across the Yarden, opposite Gilgal. So this is Samukh Gilgal. So either means that they could see Gilgal from Har Grizim and Har Eval, but the Gemara later on seems to say not this way, or take it out of the Gemara. Eitzel Elonei Mareh, Kinning one of the Pasuk, near Elonei Mareh, Shechem. That means the city of Shechem. Ulahalan Homer by Avram Ba'arisan Makom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh. That Avram went to Makom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh. So Elonei Moreh means Shechem. Ma'elon Moreh Hamur Lahalan Shechem. So just like in Lech Lecha, when it says Elon Moreh, it's referring to Shechem, Avkan Shechem. Here it's Elonei Moreh. Elonei Moreh, that's talking about Shechem. Now here we have the word Tanya. Rashi takes out the word Tanya. He holds it all one Brisa. Amr Blazar, but of Yossi, the Dabar says, Yafti Sifrei Kutiyim. He says, with this, like, argument, or with this, Shtikl Torah, I was able to slug up the Kutiyim, either with their Sefer or their ideology. Amar Tilehem, Ziyaftim Torahem. I said, you, like, forged the Torah. So the Kutiyim, in their Sefer Torah, they were Maxic. They're Maxic that Har Griz'im is the place that Hashem chose. They have, but that's their place where they worship God. Even till this day, the Har Griz'im is the only place that they do it. So in their Sefer Torah, they had, and they said, a Vayamakom Shefar Hashem, the place that God chooses is where you should offer a korbanot, they hold that's hard music, not Yerushalayim. So in their Sefer Torah, they wrote, it says, they added the word Shem in their Sefer Torah. So I argued them. I said, you can recite the Torah. You didn't benefit by adding this word Shem. Shem Omri Melanimore Shem. You say Eloni More Shem. We say it's also Shem. But Anu Lamanuam Zereshava. We learned it with Zereshava. The Kutim don't learn Torah Shabbat Pet. So we have Zereshava and teaches us Shem. Evo More, Evone More. He says, Atem, but Melanantum. How did you figure out that this is where it's at? Okay, now, he says, now, Reb Lazar is going to have a different opinion as to where Har Grizim and Har Eval are. Reb Lazar Amar, Halohim of Eber Yardin, Samukli Yardin. He says it means near the Jordan River. He says, the Yime Eber Hayardin Be'elach, if you're going to say it's like, it's further away, Halokhi Bayaba or Bechamani Yardin, it says in the Torah that the day you cross the river, you're going to take the Torah and write it down on the stones and the Torah that you heard at Har Grizim and Har Eval. So it sounds like, but if it's the day that you cross the Yarden, it's a whole big journey to go to Shechem. And the day that you cross the Yarden, you're supposed to write down this Torah. So
you wouldn't get there.
Right. That's it. Now, the other one holds it was miraculous. They made it there and made it back. But he says here, he says, it's a distance from the west, not the east. In other words, talking about not Mavo HaShemesh, it doesn't mean where the sun rises, it means where the sun sets. So it's a distance from the west, in other words, east. Right. So he says here, the Eretz HaKnani, Eretz Chivivi. So he says Eretz Chivivi, but Shem is really the land of the Chivi. So he's asking a question against Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, how can you say that Shem is referring to the Shem. Shem is Shem HaChivim, is Chivim. And says here, it says Eretz HaKnani. So the Gemara doesn't answer this question, but I saw the Mepharshim want to say that Kanani could be that in a general term, it's all called Kanani. You know, you don't have to be so specific with the Shiva Anamim. Or Kanani could be like the merchant is the Kanani. He says, HaYosheh Barava, will be in a remote boat in those things. But Shem is between mountains, so it's not fitting in. It's the Aravan is like a plain. And you say it's Shem, but Shem is among mountains. He says, Mulha Gilgal, Lo Ra'ud al Gilgal. That doesn't fit in. So your shot, I don't think, makes sense.
He's talking to Rabbi Huda?
He's right. He's speaking from the town of Rabbi Huda. Now, the thing is, though, where's Har Grizim and Har Eval? So someone to say, they quoted Yerushalmi. Shami says they may have made two mounds. One mound they called Har Grizim, one Har Eval, but it was near Gilgal. That's the way. But the other way, which is the way we normally take it, is the miraculously they were able to cover the distance and cover back the same day. But wait, please, I can't break right now. I gotta go. It says Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Amir, Lobachtu Velot Lahan Derech, Bishniak Derech Sharalahan Rishonim. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says this whole pasuk is really just to guide them where they should go once they cross the Yarden, how they should follow routes. He says, Derech, Baderech Luchu, Velobastur Kramim. In other words, follow the set path. Don't go through fields and vineyards. Hayoshev, Yishuv Luchu, Velobimbarot. Go through the settled area. Don't go through the midbar. This is Ba'arava, Ba'arava Luchu, Velobarimigvaot. Go through the plains. Don't go through the mountainous area. Okay, now, let me just finish up, and when we have time, we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, Tana Rabbanan, Kitzan Avu Yisrael HaYardin, how did Klal Yisrael cross the Yardin? So, if you remember, and there's a Rashi here, I'm sure somebody must speak about it. Rashi refers to Parshas Naso, but it's in the third white line, but before it's in Parshas Bahalotka. So, in Parshas Bahalotka, it says that there's four groups of Shvatim, 3, 3, 3, 3. And then for two groups go, and then the Yaron, and then the last two groups. That's the way you travel. So he says, Kitzan Rishon Yardin, the whole Yom Ronov Seah Harshnei Hadigalim, a Harshnei Galim. In the midbar, you got two groups, and then the Aron. Vayom Nasat Chila. Today, when they're crossing the Yardin, the Aron was front and center. Shnei Mar Hinei Aron Habrit Adon Kol Haaretz Ovel Lefnei Chem. That the Aron Adon Kol Haaretz, they said, like the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like his Shekhinah is felt. Once you cross Eretz Yisrael, you feel Hashem's Shekhinah in the whole land. He says, B'chol Yom Yom Levim, the Simar Haron. Normally, Levim are the ones, B'nei Kahat are the ones who carried the Aron. B'yom Nesu Konim. Now, with the question of the Ardain, going to Eretz Yisrael, the Konim are carrying the Aron. Shnemar, B'yakinoa Kapot Raglea Konim, Nosei Aron Hashem Gomer. When the soles of the feet of the Konim, you know, touch the Ardain, the room is going to split. Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishoshim Makomo Nasu Konim and Haron. We see three places in Tanakh where the Konim carried the Aron. He says, Shavruud HaYardain, and they crossed the Ardain, Ukshe Hesebu at Yericho. When they ran around Yericho seven times, the Konim were carrying the Aron. Ukshe Tzirulim Komo, when they restored the Aron to its Makom, in the time of David HaMelech, when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, to the Konim, or I didn't say right, in time of Shlomo HaMelech, I'm sorry, in time of Shlomo HaMelech, right, when they brought the Aron to the Kodesh Kedashim, the Konim carried the Aron in. The Konim carried the Aron in to the Kodesh Kedashim. Okay, so now, all right, I've been running quickly. I have a few minutes for questions, then we'll tell you a little bit more if any of you have time. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything
else? The Aron itself, the
Yeah, the Aron is Noah's, no stuff, you right. As far as I know, yeah. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
By itself?
Say again, repeat.
That's the way it's split. The Aron went. That's the way it's split.
It says in the Navi that the Konim stepped into the water and then the water split.
Where was the Aron?
They were carrying the Aron.
They were carrying it.
No, he's saying, as I'll teach us, the Aron knows the answer. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, anybody in the Zoom world? Everybody good in the Zoom world? Okay, let me see if I have a little bit here and then we'll be it. Now, okay, so here's a little story, and then that'll be it. He says, the Baal Tshuva movement in America has brought to light many issues that were hardly addressed by earlier verses. One such issue is regarding prayer. Is it better for Baal Tshuva to daven the daily services in English or in Hebrew? They are surely more comfortable in English since they can keep up and they understand the whole prayer. I remember it was somebody, I remember, came to the shul once, he kept davening in English. But all right, now, he said, one rabbi was asked just such a question by a relatively new Baal Tshuva. Quote, Rabbi, I am not sure what I should do. On the one hand, I struggle with Davin, but still can only recite from Yotzer or until Shemona Esrei with any fluency. And even so, I'm not sure what it all means. Should I just Davin in English, or should I continue to say what I have been saying? The rabbi replied, even though most poskim hold that one may not start at Yotzer or, it is better for you to rely on the Chayyadam Mitzvah rather than say all the prayers in English. He says, go with the Hebrew. He says, although the Gemara says the Sota, Lam Gimel, one discharges his obligation to be praised in any language, the Chasam Sofer Tzal writes that one should not make a regular habit of this practice. The Nefesh HaChayim Tzal writes that one who prays in Hebrew accesses the high, I assume he means the Chayim Velazhar, the Nefesh HaChayim. He writes that one who prays in Hebrew accesses the highest realms, even if he doesn't know what he's saying. The prayers in Hebrew are very powerful and were composed through Ruach HaKodesh. Saying them in English, you know, in the tour, he's got a lot of like gematrias, like how many wise words and letters and things like that. But in English, it doesn't work out that way. Saying them in English simply does not have the same effect. Also, I don't believe you will remain ignorant of the meaning of the prayers. In time, I'm sure you will learn and know the meaning of the prayers. Rabbi concluded, nevertheless, you should make strong efforts to at least say Baruch Shemar Ashrei Yishtaba, it means in Hebrew, so you satisfy the opinions of the Shabura, another great postgame. Okay, I think that's it for today. Let me one second. Let me end the recording.
Thank you.
So, wait.
Hello.
Hi.
What's that? Square. Okay, no, wait. Now? Okay, now I got it. One second.